A South African judge has ordered prosecutors to investigate whether Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe's government committed human rights abuses. The ruling Tuesday by High Court Judge Hans Fabricius is the first under statutes spelling out South Africa's international law obligations. The statutes provide for the prosecution in South African courts of people accused of committing genocide, crimes against humanity, and war crimes, whether they were committed in or outside South Africa. Foreign suspects can also be arrested and prosecuted if they should come to South Africa. Mike Pothier, the research coordinator of the Catholic Parliamentary Office of the Bishops' Conference of South Africa, spoke to Christopher Wells about Tuesday's ruling.
The background is that a couple of years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, Zimbabwean authorities raided the head office of the opposition party in Zimbabwe, arrested various people and allegedly subsequently tortured them. And following that, a number of Zimbabwean exiles living here in South Africa, along with one or two civil society organizations, human rights activists and so on, have been trying to persuade the South African police and prosecuting authority to investigate these claims of torture. And they've been doing so in terms of the Rome Statute, the international treaty that set up the International Criminal Court. Now, South Africa is a signatory to the Rome Statute, and that means that our authorities are obliged to investigate allegations of crimes against humanity, torture, war crimes, that kind of thing, the sort of thing that is covered by the Rome Statute. Unfortunately, our police and prosecuting authority declined to carry out that investigation when they were approached. And the court case that has now been finalized is a result of the application by those same human rights activists to the South African High Court to say, please instruct our local authorities here to take this seriously and to conduct an investigation. And the court has agreed with that and has made that order.
Where were the practical consequences of this decision? Is it going to move this case forward, or is there going to be an appeal, or what's going to happen next?
Our government hasn't announced yet whether it's going to appeal. It certainly can appeal the matter, and I expect that it will do so because it's an important point of international law and also constitutional law. It's one of those jurisdictional questions. The South African police have no jurisdiction to go into Zimbabwe, an independent sovereign country, and conduct investigations there. But they do have the right, and in fact the duty, in terms of the Rome Statute, to request information and request assistance from their Zimbabwean counterparts. But nevertheless, I guess that the South African government will consider appealing this to our higher courts. We have a Supreme Court of Appeal and the Constitutional Court, which could both overturn this decision. And if they fail in such an appeal, in other words, if our Constitutional Court ultimately says you must go ahead and conduct the investigation, then I would expect that a formal request will be made at some point to the Zimbabwean authorities to provide information about these allegations. That request obviously will get nowhere because Zimbabwe will not respond to it. The main practical consequence, though, is that if any of the Zimbabwean police officers, politicians, whoever they may have been, who are alleged to have carried out this torture or instructed the police to carry out these raids and so on, if any of those people come to South Africa, then they stand to be arrested once they're on South African soil. And I think that is the key practical outcome and the real reason why this matter was taken to court. Because, as you may know, quite a number of African heads of state and officials continue to travel up and down the continent, attending conferences and so on in neighboring countries, even though the International Criminal Court has issued warrants against them. For example, President Bashir of Sudan is one such case. And the net result is that the provisions of the Rome Statute are simply ignored in many parts of Africa. This is an attempt to actually make the South African government enforce those provisions.
So there is some possibility of genuine consequences from this ruling.
There is that possibility, yes. But as I say, the chief one would be if any of those suspected Zimbabwean officials decide to travel to South Africa, they would risk arrest. And at a diplomatic level, I guess, if our government decided to take this investigation very seriously and instructed our prosecuting authority to formulate charges and so on, then diplomatically it could request the Zimbabwean authorities even to deliver the suspected perpetrators of this torture to a South African court. I think there's no chance at all that Zimbabwe would comply with such a request. But it does up the pressure against a repressive regime such as you have in Zimbabwe, and it makes life a little bit more difficult for them. If their senior officials, senior police officers and so on cannot freely travel out of the country, then again, it makes life more difficult for them. It makes it slightly more difficult for them to continue with their oppressive agenda.
And one final question. Does the government have any support for this, or what's the government's position on this? Does the ANC have a particular idea about going this? Is the judge independently acting, or what's happening there?
Well, the judge that gave this order, yes, is certainly acting strictly in accordance with the law. You see, our parliament has passed a law to give effect to the Rome Statute within South Africa. It's called the International Criminal Court Act, and he has interpreted that act, in my view, quite correctly, and he's done so independently. I've got no doubt about the independence of the judge in this kind of matter. What the government will decide to do and how much energy they will put into the investigation is completely a different question. It's going to be difficult, even with the best will in the world, to retrieve information from Zimbabwe to substantiate the allegations will be extremely difficult, because we can expect no cooperation from the Zimbabwean side. But hopefully they will try. And as I said, diplomatically, it may end up in slightly greater pressure. And it may also, it sets a precedent, you see. If human rights organizations, let us say in Zambia, in Kenya, in Uganda, in Namibia, and various other African countries, were to do the same thing and get similar court orders from their own courts, then the Zimbabwean authorities and the Mugabe's dictatorship will slowly become more and more isolated. And I think that ultimately would be a very good thing.